Hello, friends. Welcome to today's episode. My guest for you today is my brother, Angelo Atienzo, a Filipino brother, man. He has 1.6 million followers on YouTube. We talk about a lot of things. We talk about building a YouTube channel. We talk about the law of attraction. We talk about semen retention. We talk about a lot of freaking things, man.
Puppies.
Talk about puppies. We have the same puppy, but his looks like an Oreo. But overall, this entire podcast was honestly like one of my... Like, dude, I had a lot of fun, man. Like, we talk about, you know, what it's like growing up with immigrant family members or parents. We talked about, like, hustling. We talked about making money. We talked about losing money. You're going to find out how not only was he able to build this, how he was also a poker player and how, like, I don't know, dude, your story was insane. I feel like people are going to enjoy it. With that being said, Angelo Atienzo. Watch the entire thing. Intro.
We're both YouTubers and we're both renting a place from Pablo.
Yeah.
It's like,
and we both get our asses beat by Nico.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing? You pussy, you know. Yeah. You just gotta, you know, just, you know, be a man. And I was like,
you know? I feel like I don't know much about you other than the fact that you're a badass, because I mean anyone that hangs out with Nico is a badass. But I'm almost 99.999% positive that we are very, very similar as just like it's just even knowing what happened with, you know, the people that we hang out with and stuff like that.
Dude,
so you just got here?
No, I've been here for a few weeks now.
You've been across my like home the entire time. I didn't even know.
When did I get here? Like early September?
Yeah.
Or so? Yeah. It's my fourth or fifth time in Bali. Okay. And I've actually seen you around, like, scooting around. The first time I met Nico, and then you drove by with your shirt off, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's Mike.
Yeah.
So I've known about you for a while now.
Yeah,
he's kind of a celebrity here.
He was saying, dude, you need to meet this Angelo guy. You know, he's, like, Filipino. He's just like you, and he builds YouTube channel. And I was like, what's his YouTube channel? He's like, this will kill you. And I was, like, looking. I was like, damn, 1 million, like, followers and stuff like that, dude. And I was like, yeah. So the moment I asked him, I was like, anyone that you recommend that's like a badass that I should get on the podcast? He was like, dude, you need to talk to my friend Angelo. You know, like,
that's so flattering.
Yeah.
But yeah, but that's got to be, I already love you to death, but that's probably the worst accent of Nico.
We got Nico one. The funniest thing about Nico is just the way he like looks people in the eye. You know, the way he, even how he orders food at like certain places, be like, I'll have the spaghetti, and he'll like do a wink or two, and then I'm like, "What are you? Is he hitting on me?"
Have you sparred with him?
Yeah, I hate.
Oh my god,
it hurts!
It hurts, and he's got those crazy eyes too. When he looks at you, you feel scared for your life.
Yeah,
yeah, it's insane.
What's worse is when you like hit him good, and then you see his face go from like coach to I want to murder you. You know, like, have you ever seen that?
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
it's scary. Like, I hit him good once. I was like, yeah, feel that. Like, I felt the knuckle connect to his eyes, and then like he was like, okay, we're no longer training. I'm going to murder you. He like beaded my eye in so much that it was twitching for like 2 weeks. Like
what?
Yeah, 2 weeks. That's why I was like, I want to like take a break for a little bit. Like, it was so bad. I remember going out to just like talk to people. Like, yeah. It was around the time where I was going out every single day, just sober, just like socializing. Mm-hmm. And I remember I met like this really cute girl, and I was like, oh man, you know, it's like when you're the conversation's going well and she doesn't think you're a weirdo, mm-hmm. like in a conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I remember when the moment she started getting attracted, that I literally started feeling the twitch coming on because Nico punched
God.
It so hard. And I was like, oh, don't twitch. And she was like looking in my eye, and her eyes were like sparkly. And I'm like, this is literally like the girl that's like freaking perfect. And out of nowhere, my eyes was just like, like twitch, and I looked away. She probably thought I was a werewolf because I was like, I have to go.
It's so embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's weird how your body does that, because I sparred with him the other day too, and when I was lying down afterwards, I could feel my bicep twitching like that.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. He says it's a release of trauma, basically.
Okay, so he's literally helping with like any mommy and daddy issues whenever he punches us in the eyes.
Supposedly, I guess.
Have you done like the hypnosis with him yet?
I have.
How is it?
It's very, very good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
He combines the hypnosis with Wim Hof breathing techniques, and afterwards you feel high as shit, but in a good way. Like, a lot of mental clarity, a lot of You feel very relaxed, but still sharp and very energized. Mm. And it helps a lot with burnout because I'm sure, you know, as an entrepreneur, you spend a lot of time in front of your computer. You kind of tense up. And then, you know, I'm sure you're used to working like 12 to 16 hours a day, right? Mm. You're like, look at where you're at right now in your career. But basically, after working long, long periods of time and staring at the computer screen, it's like, after a few days, you get burnt out. Mm-hmm. And so by doing that, it helps sort of replenish you. And and you feel this sort of tingliness in your body. And those spasms that we were talking about, it's common for me to like, my hands lock up like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got really good hands for handstands. Those hands are like perfect for handstands.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you freeze up like that. And then my feet, my ankle. So if this is your foot, my foot locked up like that. And then spasms here and then spasms right here too. But he said, again, that it's a release of trauma. But the mental clarity and the focus that you have is phenomenal. And it's crazy because it's all just from simple methods like breathing, right? Mm-hmm. And then he helps hypnotize you to help you get in a better mindset and help visualize your goals. And and I highly recommend it to anyone. It's it's pretty interesting how he connects sexual energy and breathing techniques and hypnosis with business and fighting and all that, because they're all sort of interrelated somehow.
100%, dude. Because like, for example, if I'm only focusing on business, business would be good, but then all aspects of my life would actually suck. As opposed to, like, for example, the way he talks about it and Mantak Chi and like some other people in the Eastern world is like that sexual energy, like fighting, like getting in front of an adversal like opponent and having the confidence to succeed, and also like semen retention and sucking that like up your spine and into your third eye, basically. That in terms of like creative work and what you could actually do when you're under fire, for example, when you're building your business, or in this case, like your YouTube channel or like any other business ventures, dude, it's like, it's been like one of the biggest game changers. I feel like for me, as opposed to like, you know, seeing how people run business in the States where it's like one-sided, as opposed to here where it's like, wow, they could run a business, but they could also have like a loving relationship. They could also have like amazing friends. No one really has to compete. Like everyone's kind of friends, like building each other up. And it's literally kind of the opposite. Now it's almost like weird. Like I almost don't want to do business with people that haven't either done some type of fighting or some type of like sexual, like
tantra work.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Cause you know that wherever their mind's at, it's like the healthy business, not like unhealthy business, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying it's like a better work life balance.
Yeah.
Correct? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you been doing that? Like he says like sexual transmutation and not basically coming.
Yeah,
you're like, I wanted to talk about my YouTube channel, and then now we're going straight.
No, yeah, ask me anything. Yeah, I have been practicing that, and yeah. You have experience with it, right?
Experience with what?
Well, just not coming.
Yeah, dude, since like I haven't with like my partner since like January.
What?
Bro, my eyes, like it's gonna, if I blink too tight, I feel like it'll just squeeze out, you know?
What the hell?
Yeah, I just feel like a rabbit animal.
Oh my gosh. See,
she's always just like, wow, so much energy going on from the corner.
You do have a lot of energy, yeah. Yeah. But no, I'm sure it makes a huge difference. I'm lucky. I'm lucky if I could go for like 3 days.
Oh my god, dude, 3 days. You're like, yeah, I practice semen retention. How long have you been doing it? You know, three days is good though, dude.
I'm very new to it. That's why I'm
3 days is great, dude. I remember like when I was young, I had to freaking masturbate like every 15, 30 minutes, bro. Like as a little Filipino guy.
When you were young, you're still young. Well, how old are you?
Like, 25 and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm talking about like, for example, when, you know, you have like, you probably relate. My mom and my dad, they're so Filipino. They're like, Hling, huh? Don't have sex. You'll go to hell. Don't have sex. Go to church.
Do not play with yourself.
Do not play with yourself. And I'm just like, can I have sex with me? I'm just going to masturbate for the next like 5 times a day, you know, like take them out. And Filipino parents are actually like weird because they'll be like, don't have sex. Don't have sex. And then, you know, you turn 20, you turn 30. You don't, like, I have cousins that listen to their parents like, don't have sex. Don't have sex.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And then they're like 40. And then the mom comes out one day and they're like, oi, Josep, why don't you have a girlfriend? Are you gay?
Yeah.
And then
When will you get married?
When will you get?
I want like, grandchildren.
Mom, I'm trying not to go to hell right now. You know, like, what's going on? You know, I was gonna die a virgin. You know.
Wait, what is your story, by the way? Were you born in the Philippines? And then
no, my mom and dad tried to make me in the Philippines, mm-hmm. But my dad said it was too hot and his sperm count was like too low.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's what he said. Wow. And he literally had to. He was like, no, seriously, because he was like older. He had like a rough childhood, so I think he did some like drugs when he was younger in the Philippines. I remember like he was he would do so much stuff. Like I remember he would like breed rabbits and then sell them on the street. He's like one of those kids. Mm-hmm. Right. And then he did some stuff that I feel like it like went down his sperm count. And my dad's like also like 13 or 14 years older than my mom. Mm-hmm. So I think his sperm count was, you know, mm-hmm. So because that didn't happen, my mom became a nurse and she went to like Chicago mm-hmm. and my dad became a journalist. But he was actually just a newspaper delivery guy. Mm-hmm. And then he became an engineer. But he impressed. Oh, my God, dude. I remember I was with my dad. He was doing like air duct cleaning, mm. right? And we were at like our auntie's house where we used to like live in the basement, like sardines, they would say it. And then we were cleaning the air duct cleaning and he had like this giant billiard table or pool table. I don't know what you guys call it in Russia. But he literally looked at me when I was like 10 years old and he was like, Mike, you see that table?
And I'm like, oh no, that's where you were conceived?
I was like, yeah, dad. He's like, you were made on this. And then I'm just like, so yeah, dude, to answer your question, I was made in Chicago.
on a billiards table.
Yeah, in the cold. That's why. So it helped with his pressure.
Oh yeah. Man. Did you and then when was your first time back in the Philippines?
My first time back in the Philippines, I think I was 9 or 8 or 7. I was in kindergarten, I remember. Mm. Because I remember getting like the cool kites in the like they used to give you a bunch of like kites and play stuff when you're younger and you went from like overseas. And then at like 8 or 9, I like we didn't have any more money or whatever, and it started getting more expensive. So I didn't really go back to the Philippines where I could consciously enjoy it. And like my cousins and my family and my Lola and my Lolo or grandma and grandpa until I was like 22.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, it fucking sucks.
Wow. Man. Yeah. You lose touch of your roots that way. Yeah. It's pretty tough too. And I tell a lot of people this. I'm not sure if you had the same experience, but growing up, I spent my childhood in San Francisco and Seattle.
Yeah.
And it was a predominantly white society, right? Mm. And I had a lot of identity issues growing up because like all my friends were white and everyone around me was white. And then I was just looking at myself like, wow, I'm so much darker than everyone. I remember because I was on the tennis team, so I would put on sunscreen so that I don't get darker so I could fit in with everyone around me. And I remember whenever I'd go back to the Philippines, it was just so empowering and so refreshing to see people who actually looked like me. And I feel like a lot of the people like us who grow up in predominantly white societies but have roots based elsewhere where they look different, act different, they're raised differently, it can make for some sort of weird identity crisis growing up. I'm not sure if you...
Oh, 100%, dude. I would do the exact same thing because I didn't, like, it was just... And I'm pretty sure now it's different, right? But, like, you know, in the 1990s or whatever, or maybe... how old are you? You could be, like, 16 or, like, 85.
32.
Okay, 32. So, like, in the late 80s or 90s or whatever, literally, I didn't see my first, like, black kids. I was, like, 14. It was just me and a bunch of, like, white kids. And I was just like, what's going on? I wore, like, a visor so that my face wouldn't get dark. I was wearing, like, sunscreen. I was, like, afraid of the sun. And it was literally just, like, it was just weird, dude, you know?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's tough.
You just feel like an outsider.
Yeah, yeah. But, well, you know, you got to give yourself credit, though, since you weren't able to go back for such a long time, but you were able to build such a successful business to be able to have the freedom to travel and finally go there whenever you want. You know, that's very praiseworthy.
I think one of the things that really helped though was that like being able to I don't want to say survive because I mean people are like dying in war and shit like that, and I was just like a freaking Asian kid surrounded by like white people, so that's not even really that bad. But emotionally and psychologically, when you are younger and you feel like just because the color of your skin or like your personality or even just like, dude, I thought like bringing rice and chicken to to like school. Like now I'm like, yo, screw all those like box lunches. Like this is dope, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I remember my mom and my dad, they like we didn't have like peanut butter sandwiches and whatnot, and I was always so embarrassed to bring like the Asian food,
yeah,
you know, to
and you use
like,
the spoon class. And fork.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then now I'm looking back and I was like, dude, that was a way better meal, more nutritious, like than some of the bullshit that some people were eating. You know, like Lunchables.
Yeah. Oh God, all those processed foods.
I was so jealous of the people with Lunchables, and I was just like, man, why am I eating like this? Now I'm like, it was literally food that people would pay to eat out at a restaurant. You know?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And there's something to be said too about the Filipino work ethic as well. Yeah. Like I'm sure that's how you were able to grow your thriving business is because mm-hmm. like the way we're raised, it's like work hard so that you can have a good future. Mm. And I think that's one noteworthy thing about Filipinos, yeah. how we're raised as opposed to like some other cultures out there, because they place a high value on education and a high value to on a hard work ethic because you have to always worry about your future. And I think too it's because our parents, you know, have been exposed to such extreme amounts of poverty and kids living on the streets that they have this sort of fear sitting in the back of their minds, right? Whereas like when I go to Europe, it seems like a lot of Europeans are very nonchalant about money and financial situations because they get a lot of social services, like for example in the Netherlands or in Germany, you know, they a lot of stuff is free or provided to them, whereas us, if you can't put food on the table, you're out on the streets, right? And then a lot of my white friends too. I'm not trying to bash white people.
White like people, I love white people. I love white people. This is not like a Filipino versus white people.
No.
We love white people.
Yeah, exactly.
Russians, Polish, German. White people.
As long as you're white, you're in our club. Yeah.
And black people too. We love you too. We love everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Do you ever call yourself a coconut?
I'm more like a banana, I feel like.
A banana?
Like a yellow on the outside and white on the inside.
Yellow?
Yeah.
What? Why do you identify as yellow rather than
yellow,
brown?
Right? Am I yellow?
No, you're brown. Brown is you're
Indian.
Brown as hell.
I'm brown. Well, I would be like a lighter, like a caramel. Like, you know, like that's like on top of a... You know?
Yeah, okay. I could take caramel.
Maybe like one of those bananas that... one of my favorite like Filipino things, like it's not a regular yellow banana, but it's like a darker banana that you could fry and then you brown sugar. And,
is it plantain?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Or did you ever have the chocolate rice?
Champorado. I think so. I was just eating everything that like, did you eat the dinuguan though? The bloody.
Yeah, I love it.
Really?
You don't like it?
Oh my God. We have like this bloody, like they call it chocolate pork, but that chocolate is actually just blood.
Yeah. So it's a black sauce. If you can somehow pull it up,
yeah,
it's a black
it
sauce.
Google
with
it.
Chopped up pork. And it's.
I'm so glad you're Filipino.
It's
bro.
Because when you cook the blood, it turns black.
Yeah. It's the soul of the
D-I-N.
Animal. You're doing a great job.
No, it's just like,
no. So D-I-N.
We were telling her if this was a Russian podcast.
And then U, G. Yeah, that one. Dinuguan.
Oh, here we go.
This one. Yep.
Literally, the soul of the animal bleeds into the soup.
There you go. Oh, it's so good, though.
Really?
Like a little bit citric, too, with the vinegar.
I think I would eat it now, because now I'm like carnivore. And I'm
oh, are
eating.
You?
Yeah, dude, just...
In Russia, we have some like sausage, and inside
sardelka?
It's like a blood or something like
blood
this
sausage.
Too.
Yeah, that's common in German-speaking countries too. So I'm assuming you don't ever delve into balut then, because that's too extreme.
I feel like I would now, but it's my dad says it's also like an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
So when you eat it, like, do you know what balut is?
Okay, you should pull that up.
Yeah, you should pull that up next. Yeah. Oh my God, this is just Filipino Fridays. Oh my God, it's Friday. Wait, Saturday. Saturday. Yeah. Balut is, it's literally like this.
Fertilized duck egg.
Fertilized duck egg. You can see
B-A-L-U-T.
The baby.
B-A-L-U-T.
Again?
B-A-L-U-T.
They had that on Fear Factor, and everyone's like, I think people are going to win like B-A-L-U-T.
Yeah.
They had this on Fear Factor, and they're gonna win like $10,000.
I saw that one. Yeah,
and my uncle's like, "Give me! I eat that shit for free."
That's exactly what I eat that stuff for free. Yeah, look at that.
What is this?
Yeah, they'll give you fertilized a boner duck for like egg. 30 days.
Oh, fool. But I honestly think that it's an aphrodisiac just because it's high fat, high protein.
Yeah,
just like anything else, right? Mm-hmm. Just like steak and whatnot.
Fuck, man. There's so much things I feel like we could talk about, dude. It's like, this is literally like going down memory lane. You know what I'm saying?
You don't meet a lot of Filipinos out here?
No, dude. They're usually like Russians, German, Belgium, a lot of Spanish. Like, I don't see another brother, dude. I don't see another Kabayan.
And they probably think you're, Kabayan. Yeah. They probably think you're Indonesian, too.
Probably, or Korean. Or that was the worst, dude. When people thought I was Korean, I was just like, yo.
What?
Yeah.
You're too dark to be Korean.
That's what I'm saying, dude. But, like, I don't know. I did Taekwondo when I was younger, and my Taekwondo teacher was, like, pretty, like, dark.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a banana, like a dark banana.
And he was Korean?
Yeah, I think so. Really?
Yeah.
He's pretty Korean.
It's funny because I feel like wherever we go, people will think that we're that nationality. Like, I'm in Thailand. Whenever I'm in Thailand, they start speaking to me in Thai, thinking I'm Thai. And then even in Puerto Rico, people start speaking to me in Spanish because they think I'm Latino. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, if I will see you, I will not understand where you're from, really. For me, it's too hard.
Do you think we'd be brothers? We look related a little bit.
No, really.
What?
You look different.
How do we look different?
I don't know. I didn't
He's more ripped.
Almost from Filipino.
I look Filipino?
No.
I don't look Filipino? Do I look Filipino?
Yeah, very Filipino.
See, you got the nose. I got the nose, dude.
Yeah.
I wanted to put a paperclip on my nose so it wasn't be as Filipino.
But it's... Oh, yeah. I've heard about people doing that.
Yeah. It doesn't work. It's just
you guys probably think we're weirdos, but this is # Filipino problems. Pinoy problems.
Yeah, Pinoy problems.
Dude. Yeah.
Why is it, though? Like, so I feel like everyone had such a similar, like, childhood of, you know... And even just going back to your original thought, and then we could like circle back out. Mm. I feel like the reason why a lot of Filipinos, especially like this generation, when like the first generation comes in, is you literally see your parents come from like nothing and build something.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even necessarily say it's like Filipinos, but like a lot of Nigerians come to like America and just kill the game. Like second generations. A lot of Indians. Because think about it, right? Like when... You come to a new place, you don't have any network, you're literally like a kid, right? So from ages 0 to 7 is some of the most impressionable moments of your life. Mm. I remember from 0 to 7, I literally got like pummeled into my psyche just the value of the dollar. Like, don't leave the lights on, you're going to waste money. Or, don't shower for more than freaking like 10 minutes or else you're going to like waste water, or like eat all your food or else you're going to go to hell. Like all of these like things, like they literally scare you. Every single bad thing that could happen, like, oh, you better clean your room or you're going to go to hell. That's literally what, and then I was, you know, and then they would also like fucking pinch my kili kili or whatever if I lied. So like literally ever since a kid, and then you see your mom and your dad, like move through the transitions as opposed to like, for example, a kid whose parents are already on the top, they don't really learn much, but a kid who literally sees their parents from nothing and start building like a life for their kids. When you see that transition, that's I feel like what creates the fire in people, you know, like you have it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And thank you. One thing I wanted to ask you in that regard then is when you decided to branch into your own thing and start your own business, right? How receptive were your parents about it? Because, you know, growing up, it's like a lot of Filipino parents have a plan for their kids. Like, you're going to go to nursing school, you're going to become a doctor, or you should go to law school or whatever,
or
right?
Or you become famous in the Philippines. That's like
exactly. Yeah. But like, when you told them that you were going to, you know, start your own business or... not get a traditional 9-to-5 and work corporate. How did they react to that?
Oh, I remember when I called my dad, I was in the library studying for like my dental exams. Cause it was freaking crazy, dude. It was like they ingrained into me.
Oh, so you were going to be a dentist.
Dude, I was accepted into dental school when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And then I had this like fast track as long as I like kept a 3.5 GPA, didn't get arrested and just you know, like we condensed 4 years of my undergrad into 3 years. Mm. And I remember later on, I think sophomore year or whatever, I started like reading personal development books and you start like seeing things so much better. And I started like thinking of more ways to help my family, like my aunties, my uncles, my cousins. And I saw like, oh my, this is the entrepreneurship way. Right. Mm-hmm. And I started like seeing behind the, or beneath the fold or whatever you say on what the education system was doing for me. And I remember I called my dad in the library and just joking around. I was like, Dad, I think I'm going to like drop out. Like, this was like around sophomore year. Mm. And he was like, don't you ever fucking say that. And he just hung up.
Really?
Yeah. It's fucking, dude, it was tough, dude. And then that, and it was like weird because he would say that. And I remember we were so low because we went to a private university in Wisconsin. Huh. And I think the tuition was like $3,000 or $4,000 a month. Like money was like so bad that like sometimes we would fall short and then he would have to ask me for money.
Yeah.
Which fucks me up. Like they'll fuck anyone up when like a dad comes up to the son. Mm. And I only had like, for example, $2,000 in my bank account at the time, 18, 19 years old, from saving up from summer camp counseling all summer and like moving GNC signs like on the street. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I was like, okay, here's $1,000 because he needed to borrow it. And I was like, well, fuck. I literally took 6 months, 7 months, 8 months to make this $2,000. And then within one bad like emergency, I'm like half, my net worth is like half gone. Right.
Yeah.
So immediately I was like, well, fuck, what am I going to do? And then I started like reading all these books and like Googling everything. And this was before like there was YouTube videos. Right? Yeah. And the craziest thing was I actually remember because it was the summer leading up to my first year of dental school, right? Mm. Junior year was passed. I had a girlfriend at the time. Like a bunch of my friends started just thinking I was crazy because I started like not really like wanting to become a dentist or whatever. I don't know if you like experienced this or whatever, but yeah, it was like weird. I remember in that summer, I lost like basically the love of my life that I was like dating for 3 or 4 years. Mm. I lost all of my friends because they thought I've gone crazy. And then when it came to realizing, because when you realize, okay, I visualized if I was going to become a dentist, the best case scenario is I'll still be in debt at age 45. I'll probably marry this girl that I met the first day of my university. We're probably going to fight because right after I graduate, I have to go to dental school. I won't have any time for her. After that, I'm going to be $250,000 in debt. So I'm not going to have time for her, like my friends. So then I'm literally going to have to, for example, like just work to like pay off that $250,000 in debt. Mm. And then like what, you know, like,
and then on top of that, your parents are having financial issues too. Yeah. So that's a lot of stress.
So much fucking stress, dude. So much fucking stress. And it was weird because everyone was like, don't do this. My friends from a lot turned into like very little. My parents didn't support anything I was doing online. And I literally told my mom, I was like, okay, mom, if I'm able to make $100,000 in the next 12 months without actually like becoming a dentist, like give me a year, give me a year. And if I don't succeed in this next 12 months and I'm going to freaking go to community college, I'm going to do whatever it is that you want. I literally gave myself like an ultimatum. Mm. And my mom, dude, like my mom would like freaking cry. Like hearing that was fucked up. She would like cry thinking she's a failure because I ended up dropping out. My dad and my mom started fighting because like what that one decision that I did for a better life for them was like tearing them apart. They started like sleeping in opposite rooms and shit like that.
Oh,
and
shit.
Like my mom like started working 16 hours a day. My dad took like more jobs and they started not seeing each other. And it was so fucking weird because in that period of my life, like I felt like the biggest piece of shit. I felt like it was all my fault. I felt like, fuck, I really need to make this work. And I remember at the moment, I just started drinking tequila every single day. I started, like, I was so nervous to talk to people that I actually, like, I had, you know, people have, like, a morning routine. Mm. I literally had a routine to actually talk to, like, my friends because I was just so in this victim mentality that I would have to drink, I think it was, like, 6 or 8 shots of tequila. Then I would meditate. And then I would meditate and let the tequila like hit in. And then the moment I'm like drunk, I'm like, okay, now I don't have to worry about my problems. I could talk to them and not worried about like this burden. Mm-hmm. And then like like drinking got out of hand, like hangovers started going insane. And I remember it just got so bad. I was like, screw it. I'm going to at least like try business. And it was freaking crazy because the moment I got crystal clear clarity and certain things happened, it was like crazy because we ended up making like 100 grand in like 90 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I was like, dentistry, fuck you. And then even to this day though, like now, like I took that and I started like traveling. And then my mom's like, my mom still thinks that this is still just like a phase in my life.
Really?
Yeah. It's been like three years at this point, maybe four. And she's like, okay, but you know, when he's going back to the degree, you know what I'm saying?
I get some of that too. Yeah. Wait, so what did you transition to then, if you don't mind me asking, from business school and dropping out to what industry did you get into?
I got into just like online marketing.
Online marketing.
Yeah. Okay. So it was just like a crazy story. That in itself, it's a crazy story. So I went to the Tony Robbins event and they literally was like, okay, visualize your deathbed. And I did that exercise and I saw the person that I didn't want to be. And I was like, fuck, I need to do something. And then from that, for some reason, I just still kept on drinking. But that idea was in the back of my head. Like, I remember he was like, I want you to write your goal in the next like 12 months. And I was like, okay, $10,000 a month.
And yeah, he's that intense.
Yeah. And then he was like, now I want you to 10X it. And I was like, $100,000 a month? What the fuck? So I was like, put another zero. Yeah. And then I saw it and I was like, there's no way in fucking hell this is going to happen. I basically I wrote it down, right?
Yeah.
And I forgot about it. And the mind's like really weird because the moment it has like an idea in your mind, even though you're not really aware of it, you start seeing the things that you're subconsciously thinking about, right? Like, for example, like, do you like cars or anything?
They're all right.
Okay, yeah, I don't really care for fucking cars. I had a Honda Civic. But like, for example, if I wanted, say, like a BMW, like a certain class, the moment I put value on that, I would just start seeing them everywhere.
Yeah.
Or even like girls would be like, oh my God, like I had this friend, she got this this really basic Thailand tattoo, you know, like those three things like Angelina Jolie type tattoos. Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, the lines.
Yeah, those three lines or whatever, right? And they think it's like the most special thing in the world. And I remember my friend got that. And I was like, dude, do you really know you got the most basic tattoo in the world? She's like, what are you talking about? This is like the Tibetan, like Thailand thing. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, look around. And immediately she was able to be aware that there was 12 other people in like the exact same like space. Bar in Thailand that had the same tattoo.
Wow.
And now whenever we go out to parties, I was like, she brings it up. She's like, oh my, and she just is aware of it, right?
Yeah.
So when I wrote down like my goal, I was like, okay, that's gonna happen. I don't know how. I remember then I started just meeting up with people because I was like, okay, my love life is in shambles, my business is crap, like everything's horrible. And like my entire time, I was actually focusing on my love life more than my business life, which didn't even make any freaking sense. So I ended up, it was so freaking weird. Like, I remember I had no idea how to make this 100 grand, right? I had no idea. And when I was like about to go to sleep, I had a friend message me around like midnight. And you ever have like those friends that like are really like shady, so you don't want to answer the phone?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I had like, those were all the friends that I had left were the only shady ones. Yeah. So he freaking calls me.
That's encouraging.
Yeah. He calls me at midnight and I was like, I don't know if I want to answer this. And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to answer it. And I answered it. He's like, what do you want? And he was like, dude, like my friend, he's Filipino, bro. But like he needs a place to stay. Can he just like crash at your house? And I'm like, sure.
Wait, is this in Chicago?
Yeah, this is in Chicago. So I'm like, all right, because like my spot ended up just being the spot where everyone just crashed because everyone loved like my mom and dad because they cooked like dope fire food, right? Mm. And he came in. It was like around 1 a.m. It was like this like heavier, half Filipino, half Mexican dude, right? So he literally looked like straight out of like Teen Wolf or like Vampire Diaries, where, you know, like the werewolves. Yeah, he literally looked like that. And I was just like, who the fuck is this guy? I gave him a place to crash. Ended up not liking him because he was just like weird, you know, like, you know, when you wake up and like someone's already in your fridge and you don't know them and he's like eating, like I had one fish and I was going to eat it for breakfast.
He
I woke
it?
Up, he fucking ate it, man.
Where's fucking, the goddamn fish?
It was so skinny. It was like, you know, like the cats, how they use like the fish things as combs, like in some of the cartoons. It was non-existent. Right. So from that, and this is like a way prolonged way of how I made like 100 grand in those 90 days. What happened was, like, for some reason, he started becoming my friend because I just had no one else. He started like inviting me out to like clubs and bars, and we were doing like a little bit of like pickup and like talking to people. And I remember one failed attempt coming home from Chicago. No one wanted to talk to us because I was in so reactive. I was like drinking. I was feeling like a piece of shit. He wanted to add me into a Facebook group. And I was just like, why are you doing this like right now? It's like 1 or 2 a.m. Just add me tomorrow. He's like, no, I need to add you right now. He added me to that Facebook group. I then went to bed not thinking of it much. And then I woke up the next day. Someone puts a screenshot of like their sales or the revenue. And it was like $10,000 in a single day. And I was like, what the fuck in a single day? And he was just like doing this webinar. And I've been on other webinars, but this was like in 2015. So it wasn't as like prevalent. And I ended up just buying that course. It was teaching people how to do like advertising online and selling like products. So that was initially it. Like, and it was like earlier on, I feel like a lot of it, I feel like was luck because it was 2015. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was in the right time, right place, right people. We tried some stuff in the past. We had a bunch of inventory that ended up failing. Mm-hmm. But then that ended up working with Facebook ads, for example. And then that's what blew it up.
Okay. Yeah. And so had you not let this guy crash at your place, then you essentially wouldn't be where you're at
right now.
Because it all just kind of fell into place, huh?
So whenever someone wants to just like crash in my house, I'm like, yeah, dude. Come on over. Bring on the opportunity.
That's amazing.
Just have homeless people here.
It's like it all goes hand in hand with law of attraction, right?
Yeah.
Like you get what you think about. Yeah.
Do you believe in that?
100%.
How did you get into that? Because that's not like a Filipino thing. They'd be like, that's the devil.
I just, in my fraternity in college, we had this big database of movies, and then I just saw The Secret. I had heard about some hype about it for a while, so then I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. And so I bought the book and started reading it. But the craziest story to me, well, my craziest story is after college, you know, I did a few things here and there. Like I moved to France to go teach English over there. Mm. And then my goal was to become a longshoreman working on the docks with my dad out there because they make good money. And I had a math degree too. I was originally going to go into like actuarial sciences and, you know, the typical Filipino like pencil pusher type career. And when I was in France, I was like, you know what? I don't really want to work an office job. And I had gone to the casino a few months before, and I made, you know, I was probably 22, 23. And so like at that trip to the casino, I made like $40. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be rich. I think I walked home with like $40 or $60, something like that. So then I called up my friend the next day who was a professional poker player. He paid for all of his college tuition and had been living off of it for years. And I was like, Weston, okay, I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to become a professional blackjack player and it's going to be awesome and I'm going to make lots of money. And then he's like, no, don't do that. I know a lot of people who have lost a lot of money gambling. And I was like, what? And I was like, I had stayed up after the trip to the casino. I stayed up till 5 a.m. playing online blackjack for free on websites to see if I could nail down some sort of strategy, right? And then, so I talked to him and he's like, yeah, if you want any sort of edge in the casinos, Angelo, the only game that you'll have edge with is poker. So it's like, okay. So the following day I went to the library and rented like 4 or 5 different books on Texas Hold'em poker. And so I start reading it and I'm just trying to learn strategy, learn the basics, all that stuff. And I fell in love with it because I'm a degenerate gambler. And having a math degree, you know, probabilities came easy with me. And so I started watching YouTube videos and then I saw this guy, Phil Ivey. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was considered the greatest poker player in the world at that time. Like, I started watching his videos and studying his strategy and all that stuff. And he didn't put out any, like, ABC curriculum courses on his strategy. I would just kind of pause the video and rewind it and then, you know, study it some more. Like, what are the tells he's giving off? What's he thinking in this situation? All that stuff. And, you know, who's your favorite sports star?
Dude, I didn't even really watch sports, but like Michael Jordan.
Okay, Michael Jordan. Yeah, you know, some guys would say Kobe.
Pacquiao, Manny Pacquiao.
Okay, so here's a relatable way to put it. So you know how Filipinos worship Manny Pacquiao, right?
Yeah, or any Filipino that made it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I was like that with Phil Ivey. I worshipped him. I was like, oh my God, this guy is a god. He's a fucking legend. You know, my golfer friends, they worship Tiger Woods. Okay. You know, that's how I was with Phil Ivey. And every day I would meditate. And when I'm in that Zen state, I practiced visualization exercises. I remember this one vivid scene where I met Phil, you know, hand slapping, be like, hey, what's up, Phil? How you doing? How's your game today? Whatever. And this was, so by the time I had gotten to France, I knew that I wanted to be a professional poker player, but I had barely had any money to play poker. And all I had was these like PDFs and eBooks that I would study. And so, I idolized Phil. I get back to the US and I'm the broke as shit. And I get this job working for Horizon Airlines, which is part of Alaskan Airlines, because I still love traveling and I like the freedom. And I was like, I'm not going to work that corporate 9-to-5 job that my parents want me to. So I get this job with Horizon Airlines so that I could travel anywhere I want, right? And get paid, not get paid for it, but I get free flights and I have like some job to hold me over while I pick up some work at the docks. So like my first weekend I was eligible to fly for free. I flew to Las Vegas to have dinner with my friend and then flew back to Seattle that same day. Or I took a weekend trip to LA, you know, and then I would do back-to-back weekends in New York. I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. And what that allowed me to do is build up a bankroll to play poker. Mm. So one day my friend calls me up and he's like, hey, there's this girl's birthday party on Saturday here in Las Vegas, because he lives there. I don't really want to go by myself. You want to come out? And I said, yeah, let's do it. I'll fly down. It was a Saturday night. I wasn't working that evening. So I booked the flight and then I'm just waiting there at the gate. I literally just went to the airport dressed up to go out with like my car keys, my wallet, and my phone, and perhaps my phone charger or something like that. Then the gate agent calls me up. She calls me on the intercom and is like, yeah, we have some first class seats available. This is on a Saturday evening. It's about $25 to upgrade if you want it. And at that time I was making $10 an hour. I was like, God, it's 2.5 hours of work, working out in the cold, busting my ass. No, I'm not going to do it. And then eventually I thought about it and I was like, wait, you get free dinner, you get all the booze you can drink, and I'm going to Las Vegas. So might as well start going ham on the plane. So I was like, all right, upgrade me. Now, I walk on the plane and I sit down next to this like big black dude right next to me. And then he sees me and he's thinking to himself, what's this young kid doing, like 23 years old or something like that, flying first class on his way to Las Vegas on a Saturday evening with no bags? And then he thought to himself, this kid must be a professional gambler. So I said, so he looks to me and said, hey kid, you play cards? And I'm like, no, it's my dream, you know. I don't have a lot of money. I'm trying to save up to build a bankroll. And then, so I was like, yeah, do you play? And he's like, yeah, I play in the casinos, whatever. We're just making small talk. And then all of a sudden, he's like, blah, 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 blah. I have some business with Phil Ivey. And I was like, wait, Phil Ivey? He's like, yeah. And I was like, do you know who you're talking about? And he's like, yeah, Phil, he's my boy. I was like, what? He's like, He said, yeah, you know, I know him and his family really well. I help run his business, Ivy Poker. I'm like, this guy is my idol. He's my god. Like I study so much footage of him. Do you realize that? And then he's like, yeah, you know, he's cool. You know, we'll go to the club and he'll drop like 30K on a table, whatever, you know, and then we'll go back to his place. We'll do some work the next day. And so I'm just asking him all these fanboy questions like, oh, what's he like? What's his sister like? What are his parents like? Oh, what's he like? Yeah, because he has a sister that he really takes care of. And then like, what's he like off the tables? Is he as quiet as he appears in the videos? And so towards the end of the flight, we're just chopping it up the whole 2-hour flight down there. And so towards the end of the flight, I was like, okay, so if you need some help, I can fly easily to Las Vegas to help you out with your company. I'd love to. I'll work for free if you want. And then he's like, whoa, calm down. But yeah, you know, I like the fact that you're kind of a poker geek and you have a degree in math. And so here's my business card. Why don't you shoot me an email when you get back to Seattle and we'll see what we can do. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Thank you. And so I spend the night in Las Vegas and then fly back the next day. And then come Monday, I pull out his business card and I'm like, okay, it can't hurt to shoot my resume out to him. So I send it out to him. And then he's like, all right, let me pass it on to my manager, Joe. Let's see what we can do. And then like a couple days later, he's like, yeah, we have a position open in Las Vegas next month for the World Series of Poker. Why don't you come down? It's a 6-week gig and we'll see what we can do for you. I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome. Thank you. And so I had just moved into a new condo at this point because I had been able to save up some money. So I moved into a new condo. I just bought a new car, like financed it and whatnot. And then after 2 weeks of moving into that condo, I just packed all my stuff up, quit my job, and then drove like 18 hours straight down to Las Vegas. And then I start working. And then all of a sudden, like his manager is like, hey, you want to come down and meet Phil? I'm like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
That is my God.
Yeah. And so we come down and dude, going back to what we were talking about earlier, it was just like how I visualized it during my hours of meditation. We hand slapped, he gave me a big hug. And he's like, yeah, thanks for all your help with everything. We're chilling in his tour bus. And then he's, I'm just sitting there like trying to act cool. Like, hey, what's up? How's your game going? And then in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, this is Phil. Oh my God, oh my God. And then he like a couple days later, we're chilling again. And he's like, hey, Angelo, you ever take Molly? I was like, in my head, I was like, oh my God, is Phil inviting me out? Is he going to invite me out? Are we going to do drugs together? Wow. And I was like, on the outside, I was like, yeah, of course I have. And he was like, all right, come out to XS tonight. I'm getting a table there. We're going to go see Tiesto. So then
you're 23 at this time.
Yeah, something like that. 23, 24. And so I go out and then have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Yeah. So XS is like one of the hottest nightclubs there. There's like lines out the door, hundreds of people there. And then I go straight to the front of the VIP table reservations line. I'm like, excuse me, I'm here with Phil Ivey. And they're like, okay, come follow me. And so they bring me to this table. There's these big black bouncers doing security. And then the bouncer taps on Phil's shoulder and he's like, hey, is this guy cool? And he was like, yeah, bring him in. Gives me a big hug and then gives me this drink spiked with Molly. And he's introducing me all these models and all these girls he hangs out with. And then the whole night he was taking care of me. Like, hey, you doing good? Hey, help me out with this, with my BlackBerry, because that was a phone at the time. And it was just exactly like how I'd seen it in my visualizations. And it's crazy because, like, to meet a celebrity in my world, he was a celebrity of that caliber. He doesn't do very many public interviews or anything. But to meet him in that same manner that I had visualized from, like, less than a year before was just mind-blowing. So after that experience, to answer your question, long story short, I do very much believe in the law of attraction. And had I not upgraded to first class and paid that $25, I wouldn't have met the connections to get me into Phil's inner social circle. Yeah.
That's insane how literally just one decision could have... Like, can you imagine if you didn't pay that little upgrade?
Yeah. Things would be so different. I'd probably still be in Seattle. Like, could you imagine if you had not met that friend who stayed at your house? Right?
Yeah, that's so freaking...
You'd probably be trying to, I don't know, either finish up med school, or I'm sure you would have found another way. But
yeah, no, I would have been a fucking dentist. I would have been like...
You think so?
I would have been a dope dentist. But dude, I really think it's really because people that are listening, they'll be like... it's just fucking $20. But like for most people actually, and I definitely relate, because even like, for example, like me going to the mall when I was a kid and I wanted to get either like a $2 sandwich versus a $5 sandwich, I literally remember just how much more I didn't want the $5 sandwich, because I was like, that's a waste of money, because of like the Filipino programming of like, no, I'm just going to like not even eat. I'm just going to go eat back at home. Yeah. So, dude, I really think that all of that is amazing. But I think you actually going over that $20, you know, the decision, mm-hmm. that takes a lot, dude. Like, no, like, seriously, dude, because, like, it's funny. We laugh about it now, like, $20. But when you have nothing, yeah. You have nothing and you're making $10 an hour. When I was making $7 an hour, I literally saw it. I was like, I could get the sandwich, but that's 2 hours that I have to work again.
Yeah.
So I'd rather just not eat, you know? Yeah.
But dude, I think that's what really separates business-minded people with like degens or broke people, because we quantify what that value is and how much of our time it's worth, as opposed to, because there's some people that I know out there who will just be like, oh, I got money in my bank account. Let me buy it because I want it. You know, so I think your upbringing of really placing a value to the dollar
helps a lot with your smile. You're just stingy as fuck, like, you know, growing up. So yeah, I definitely relate the $20 thing. Yeah. But I think what separates you from most people is the fact that you could visualize after that initial transaction, because you saw the $20, but then you were like, well, but the alcohol is going to be way much more. No, like, seriously. So then you're like, dude, this is a freaking no-brainer, you know? So alcohol is solving everyone's problems. Dude, what happened after that? Because you literally got into the inner circle and just started hanging out there. Were you guys still talking? Did you guys end up getting, like, close buddies? Or what happened after?
Oh, yeah. We became good friends. Like, whenever he'd... So I was helping him with his company. And so... it's actually a good transition to YouTube. So
yeah.
I was helping him with his company.
Because that's what this is about, YouTube.
yeah. They're and like, what?
White people, yellow people,
black people. Law of attraction.
It's ejaculation. Dope. I love it. Yeah.
So I was helping him out with his company, which was just a startup, basically teaching people how to play poker. And, you know, I'd go over to help him out. I was essentially his assistant, right? But then he'd also hit me up like, hey, we're going out tonight. Or, hey, I'm thinking about throwing a party at my place, you know? So, like, he'd regularly have celebrities over, like Brody Jenner or who's that? Sugar Shane Mosley, you know, the boxer. And he does hang out regularly, too, with, like, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods and all those guys.
Manny Pacquiao, though, bro?
Yeah, Manny Pacquiao.
Yep.
Manny Pacquiao.
Oh, man. So, Phil Ivey's my god, too.
Yeah. So, you know, Manny Pacquiao really loves to gamble, right?
I did not know that.
Yeah. And Manny Pacquiao is always inviting Phil out to come play at some home games with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once Phil said that he always gets free tickets, ringside tickets to Pacquiao's fights. And even though they haven't met in person, they'll like text because Pacquiao's always invited him out. And even ask the Filipinos, like the Filipinos know that Pacquiao likes to spend a lot of money in the casinos. Yeah. So he said whenever Pacquiao walks by him, like about to enter a fight, he'll just do a nod like that acknowledge his presence. Yeah. Mm. What was your question?
Oh, no. My question was like, what happened after? So you were his assistant.
Yeah, I was his assistant. And then... I started YouTube as a side hustle because it was, even though working as his assistant, you know, was cool and all, I did it for the education that I could get to become a professional poker player. And so I would work for him and then play in the evenings, either online or at the casinos. And so I was doing that full time for a few years. And then eventually, man, poker is just such a grind, dude.
Yeah, like, dude. You get weird tics, too. Like, you're just, like eye twitches. Because, like, the pressure fucks you up, right?
Yeah, you don't... You learn to control those tics, so you don't really get those. But the fact that you can go to a job and lose money was what really fucked me up. Of course, we take that risk now with businesses.
It's more calculated.
Yeah, it's more calculated. Yeah. And with business... you're developing a form of passive income. Whereas with poker, there's no sort of passive income sense to that. Mm. You have to go to the tables and play. And every time you're away from the tables, it's you're either winning or losing money.
What was the most that you lost in poker on like a single night?
I was very strict about my bankroll management. So I think most was maybe like $1,500.
Damn, that's it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Some I know some guys who have lost people, you know, 6K.
Fucks their shit up.
Like, yeah. Yeah. So it really is tough. And so I was living in a poker house with a bunch of guys in Las Vegas. Yeah. One of them had some success on YouTube. And so I was telling him, yeah, man, I'm so burnt out with poker. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm looking for like some sort of side hustle. And he's like, why don't we partner up on YouTube? Like, I know that it's going to do well because I've seen how it's done for me. And if you want, you can quit your job working for Ivy. Cause at that point they had us working in an office 9 to 5, which was everything that I didn't want. Mm. He saw how unhappy I was with poker and with working in that job. So he said, quit your job with Ivy and I'll front your rent for the next few months because I know that the YouTube thing will do well and you can just pay me back out of your earnings when that takes off. So that's how I started YouTube. And I started, you know, just making videos on my own. And then,
was it your own like face at this point?
No, it was my own voice.
Okay. Yeah. Well, is it this channel or is it?
They Will Kill You.
Oh, it was this channel.
It was this channel. So a lot of my old videos are on private.
Yeah.
But, and if you look at it now, which you don't have to click it, but like, the production quality is on a whole nother level and we have a voiceover artist and all that and professional editors. But when I started out, it was literally just me with my computer and my phone. And I was like, here's how to survive a rattlesnake attack. So I
watch all those videos all the time. I'm like, how do I fucking survive? Like, seriously, those fucking titles get me all the time. Like, there's this one, it's called like the, you probably know, cause it's like your competitors, the bright side or something.
Oh,
like.
Bright side's really
They're
good.
They're killing it. They always say some shit like, this is how you survive a bear attack. I'm like, I don't want to die from it. And I'll literally just like, he's just shitting and watching how to survive a bear attack. So I know, like, I know how to survive a crocodile. Like, if a crocodile comes, you go in a zigzag cause they're like retarded. But yeah, you were saying.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So that's how I was, that's how I got my start. I was, so every day I would show up at the office at like 9 and I would, this is actually how I got my start in fasting. Like, I would work and then during lunch break, I would skip lunch so I could write a script or put together a video and then work till about, I don't know, 4 or 5 PM and then go back home, go to the gym, shower, and then work some more. Like, I had another 4 or 5 hours left in my evening every fucking day, just trying to put up a new video. And then, eventually things took off. But like, YouTube was a completely different game back then.
Was it easier back then?
Way easier. Yeah. Way easier. Yeah. My coach and business partner in YouTube who got me started, he said that he was able to make like $200 a day with 10,000 subscribers, right? Nowadays that's unheard of. And back then we were making 2 to 3 minute long videos. So it was easy to pump out a video a day. Now it's like, you have to have a whole production team or you have to have like staff and people to help you out. So it's a much higher barrier of entry. So I was very fortunate enough to get in at a good time.
But it's literally cause you just saw the opportunity, you know, like you literally like how you didn't almost get the $20. You could have just been like, oh, well, you know, this is something uncertain. I'd rather just like grab my certainty of like this 9 to 5 with like Phil Ivey, my idol. But I feel like it takes someone like very rare to like dive into the uncertain. Yeah, that's literally what you did. You like, I think one of your biggest skills is you see your comfort zone and you're like, well, I'm just going to do Molly with, you know, Phil Ivey, you know, like it just all of these things.
Yeah.
And wow, dude. So how many years ago is this? Like 8 years at this point?
Oh, no. I think it was like,
cause you're at like 1.5 million subs. I think
it was, about 4 or 5 million.
I can't even see
or 4 or 5 years blind. Ago.
My mata. Where's my ante pares? Dude, what? How did you know? Like, okay, I'm just gonna make a video because this is like 1,000 Ways to Die on like the old Spike channel. You know?
Yeah, I remember that.
Is this like why did you start creating all these videos of, like?
So actually, a lot of this stuff really grosses me out.
do you watch any of the videos that you make, or is this all your team?
I try to, yeah. My assistant helps me review things in case I don't have enough time.
Which is the most messed up video that
this
like?
Is so funny about dinosaurs. dinosaurs.
Nine most fascinating dinosaur extinction theories. Dude, these are the things that like I don't know what like how you think of these, but like when I'm like out of all the I don't watch YouTube videos. I don't like I feel like I produce more than I consume. Mm-hmm. But if I'm on the freaking bathroom and I'm just like, and this thing pops up, usually it's from like the bright side or the brighter side. They have like 200 million followers or whatever. I'm just like, well, fuck, I have to click. You know, like the clickbait is just so insane. I'm just like, what the fuck?
And that's a lesson that your viewers can take, whoever's trying to start a YouTube channel. It's like you want something sensational that will get you to say, I have to click this.
This right. Like, but how would we do this for podcasting? Because I won't just like beat the man that like is Filipino and ate blood from a cow and a meat.
Well, you're doing a pretty good job of it, actually. Like, I'm looking at your playlist of all the podcasts. It's like how this guy makes 10K a day, or meet the billionaire of Gojek, or whatever, right? Yeah. So you're thinking on the right track.
I think definitely. So, but sometimes I just feel like it's literally hit or miss. But like for example, in podcasts, I don't think I could create like these thumbnails. You know, like these thumbnails are so dope. But I just don't think it would be relevant if I was gonna do.
No, it wouldn't be relevant. Yeah. You're in a completely different niche. But that sort of thinking is you're going in the right direction.
You want to show us like where we're going? Like, you want to pull up our Asana? These are literally all of the podcasts that haven't launched yet. Just like the teal and orange and, scroll down the,
1 million per month. That was a really good thumbnail. He's
freaking smart as hell, dude.
Yeah.
Just scroll down. Look at that. Dude, we had Mike Chang. You know Mike Chang?
I've heard of him. What does he do?
Dude, he's like the old school, like YouTuber, you know, like he was literally
fitness, right?
Yeah. He was like the guy that Asians looked up to. Cause he was like, wow, this guy's big. Like, I thought I had to be a skinny little bitch my entire life, you know? That's pretty dope.
Yeah. That's a good one too. The one that you sent me earlier, stop doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're thinking on the right track.
Okay. We're on the right track. Anastasia. Ooh.
Yeah.
There's like a crowd of Filipinos behind us.
The animal holocaust.
Dude, but okay, so.
Can you go back to that real quick? Yeah. I'll try and see. Okay, so like look at stop doing this.
This one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. That stands out. What you want to pay attention to here.
Red arrow.
The red arrow and the color contrast.
Oh, that's huge.
The fact that you have a sort of whitish, blackish background with the bright colors that stands out, that really pops, right? So if you think about it, if you're looking at a list of thumbnails and everything's black and white, right? And you see that with the neon blue and the yellows and all that, then it's going to really pop out. And then the stop doing this, that helps emphasize your point. Mm. So I like that.
Should I put more red arrows on the other ones?
Red arrows always helps.
Always helps.
We always try and do that as much as possible.
Oh, really? So yeah, like,
whenever it's pertinent.
I feel like all these are pretty pertinent. Pertinent. Can we check out the other thumbnails? Wow, guys.
Let's do a rundown.
Look at that. I put a little red arrow by his face.
Can you scroll some more?
Just keep on scrolling down. Look at that.
Hold on.
This guy made $30,000 a month selling sex toys on Amazon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like those bed restraints, if you want a bed restraint.
That's pretty cool, too, how you have the mystery.
Ooh, so it makes what
you
is that?
Yeah, I like that.
Did you ever think that this is what you were going to do for a living when you were, like, crunching numbers in math class?
Hell no. But I'm very, every day, I'm just so grateful to be able to do this.
Mm.
I saw a bunch of good examples, but let's see one that you can improve on. Because that's where I think you learn most.
Probably that one.
You saw it here?
Or you saw this down? One?
Oh, no. Just keep scrolling that. Well, okay, easier than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see how we can tighten that up a bit. Okay, so initial impression
who the fuck when is I see old that guy?
Is... Yeah, who are these guys and what are they trying to convey to me, right? What's easier than you think? If let's say you have a still image of you high-kicking Nico in the face and it says easier than you think, then it's like, wow, I can knock a guy out with my legs easier than you think. But this, it's like, what are these guys doing? It's very arbitrary. It's very cloudy.
We're just like moving our faces. No, this is like all of them are either entrepreneurship, making money online. This guy was an ex Hollywood producer that sent us a video last year. And then now he works for like some of my mentors. And yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm not trying to take away from any credibility of this.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, dude, sure. Come at my life, dude. I want to cry after this.
Wait. Can you go back up to easier than you think? Mm-hmm. So yeah, because that was the title. So best way to make money. Yeah. So what I think would be pertinent would be like if you had a still image of holding a fat wad of cash.
Oh, yeah.
And that way it's clear. Making cash is easier than you think.
You need to get it, but it's like weird though, because all the cash here is like red, and like we would literally need to have to. I'd have to tell my dad to just bring like a wad of like cash from the States when I visit,
or just like Photoshop it from a still image. So can you go back to the original thumbnail? Scroll down. Yeah. So basically, Photoshop like a wad of $100 bills. Place it on top of his palm and place it.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then with red arrows pointing to it.
Wow. You are a master, man. I would definitely. No. That's why. Like, I think I clicked on some of your videos, though. Like, which one was the most messed up one, I think, of yours?
They're all pretty fucked up.
Yeah. You learn a lot from these channels.
Yeah.
When tiger sharks attack.
Our biggest. All-time performer eventually got demonetized, so we had to set that one to private. But well, it was years ago, and that one made something like 8K in a day or something like that. Yeah, it was going nuts. I've never seen anything like that. Yeah, but as I said, we had to set it to private.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see all the red arrows there. Like, we try and incorporate it. But make sure, like, okay, so 8 legends that will never fail. That's kind of a bad example because the background is a little reddish. Yeah. So it makes the
red not pop.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Whereas like when elephants attack, it's clearly like a red arrow there.
Mm.
Think about people's attention spans when they're scrolling. They just immediately or they breeze right through it. So you want something that really stands out of their face.
That's like the craziest thing. No one realizes that like all it takes is one video to go viral and it's just like a disgusting amount of income, you know? And like yours aren't really in the entrepreneurship or business niche. What's like the CPM or cost per 1,000 views for some of these?
So per 1,000, it's about between $2.50 to $3.
No way.
Yeah.
Dude, in the business and entrepreneurship niche, mine's like 30.
Wow.
Yeah, dude.
Wow.
We gotta start your YouTube channel in the like teaching people like YouTube, dude. I think that you'd be like really dope, man. Because you're so smart, you know? And like I'm learning so much from you right now, dude. So I literally think like, dude, I feel like you'd also kill it just like giving YouTube advice.
Nice Filipino team.
Yeah.
And your neighbors, so we just like podcast all the time.
Dude, I thought I was happy with $3. You're getting 30?
Yeah, dude.
God damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah, but that it's also very niche and specialized, I think.
Yeah,
that's
just
why.
Like
business. Well, that's very, very good.
Well, you gotta think about like the advertisers that are advertising on it. The only downside about this especially it blows my mind. You did $8,000 in a single day on one video with a $2 CPM. You probably got like tens of millions of views from that.
Yeah.
And just like blew up. Yeah. But the thing about this is, for example, most advertisers, when they want to sell a product that solves a problem, unless they're selling like elephant, like vaccines for when they attacked, you know, there's not much competition compared to like, for example, if someone watches an entrepreneurship channel, they know that their biggest problem is they want to make money. They maybe don't know how to make a website.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have any of these like softwares. And now like there's all of these people bidding for that space.
Yeah.
And that's why like Wix or like
Skillshare.
Yeah. So now they're competing and they're big businesses that have the money to fund it. So what happens is that attention space, because they know that the buyer is watching these videos, that they're more likely to buy. So like the CPM rates, or for those that are listening, like cost per 1,000 views, it just skyrockets, man.
That's huge. So you're getting like the cream of the crop of advertisers bidding on your videos.
Yeah, but now like it's different now. Like the problem with the make money online niche is it fucking destroyed my soul, dude. Like the CPM rates would be good, but like it was literally like a one night stand with most of these audience people. They would come in, they would watch the video, and then they would leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then I literally then had to optimize to constantly chase the views instead of chasing the people that are watching the views.
What do you mean?
So for example, I realized for all the people sliding in my DMs, they weren't like the people that I wanted in my life, mm-hmm. right? And I was optimizing for the wrong metric when I should have been optimizing to invite more awesome people in my life. Because I also think that a YouTube channel isn't really not just a way to make money, but it's almost like an extension of your consciousness and puts like the law of attraction on steroids, where you literally almost put like tentacles out into the universe to bring all the things that you need into your life. Mm-hmm. And just like, for example, I remember I just moved to Chiang Mai. I came with my friend. We used to live in Vegas for like 30 days. I lived in the Hooters Hotel. Mm-hmm. Funny fact that you said excess. I'm not allowed in excess anymore.
What?
I got kicked. What? Like, I don't. You probably know what it is. It's called like 86th.
Yeah.
If you're, I got 86th.
Why?
From excess at 21.
What the hell happened?
Dude, I took a freaking dating boot camp there, and then I went. I'm
what,
like
RSD 20, or something.
Yeah. I was 21. I went up to the bouncer and I was like, senior, junior host, like, you know, just try to like get into the table line because I don't want to fucking wait the lines.
Yeah.
And yeah, no, so like they're like, sir, show me your ID. And I gave them my freaking card that showed that I was like a local in Vegas, because that's what they tell you get. And then they're like, no. And they're like, what's your name again? I was like, my name's Mike. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna get in, not gonna like wait. And they're like, okay. I was like, oh, they're like paging in, you know, like so I could go in, right?
Yeah.
The short line, dude, like two big bodyguards dragged me out of where is it? Win? It's the win, right? Win,
yeah.
Dragged me out, and I was so sad, dude. I was like, man, I really like excess. Dude.
Wait.
I got 86 from
dude. What exactly did you do?
I was trying to pretend that I was somebody when I wasn't.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, dude. It was I was so sad. I was actually so sad after that. It was so relevant because then I was like, man, I feel so sad. I'm going to go buy a course. Like that was like, I literally walked home. I was like, fuck it. I think I was like crying. Cause I was like, man, like this pickup shit is hard. Like my business is falling down. Like I need to buy a course. This will fix everything. and then seriously, like, and then you would watch a video. So think about it. If you'd buy a video and that pain point is like prevalent, the CPM rates would be like higher, but fuck, where did we go from in this?
Oh, so you said you sold your soul basically with the how to make
money. Yeah. Yeah, no. So what happened? How did I even bring that up? Okay. Because so, yeah. So the videographer of that person that I was like taking the boot camp for, we ended up, I was like, hey man, let me teach you, you know, online marketing. He's like, okay. And then he just quit his job. And now we're like traveling. We're, like I have this like videographer like from RSD and we're just like making videos and he's like teaching me pickup because he used to be like an instructor. And I remember when, I'm trying to like remember. Okay, that's what it is. So we then lived together for like 6 months and then he ended up leaving. And then I didn't realize that when you're traveling with someone, you also get so like dependent on that other person that I literally was like, well, fuck, like, I don't like where can I find more friends? Because when you travel with someone, no one realizes that you actually get lazy and you can't really be yourself or experiment with new personalities because, you know, there's always going to be some type of mirror and judgment with each other. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember literally the moment he left, it was almost like law of attraction. Because of the YouTube channel, I kid you not, I was like, the day before, I was like in Chiang Mai, I was like, man, I wish I literally had a friend just like my friend John. He ended up leaving. I was like, man, I need someone. He's like Asian and like this short or whatever. Because like sometimes I like being taller. Maybe it's like an ego thing. I don't know. Like I literally like put out the perfect thing. I was like, he needs to be this short. He needs to, you know, have an online business so I don't have to pay for everything. And he needs to be good at pickup so that we could like go out and like do some pickup stuff. And I literally had this intention right before I went to bed. And then I woke up, I was walking around Maya Mall in Chiang Mai. And while I'm sitting, I think I was eating burritos in the basement. I don't know if you've ever been in Thailand. It's like in this like weird mall. I was like eating a burrito. And as I bit into it, realizing that, man, I'm fucking alone, contemplating that maybe I should go back home because I just had like a bunch of social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I'm more introverted. And I didn't know how to deal with the fact that I'm in a new country by myself. As I bit into it, I kid you not, this guy that looked just like my friend John, like this tall in a pickup. And then I remember before I was like, oh, and this guy needs to be Australian, right? Like this was the intention.
What the fuck?
Like, I don't know. I was like, I feel like I need an Australian friend, you know? And then it was my friend Ario. He's like, "Hey, mate, are you Mike Vestil?" And I was like, and at first I was scared because I was like, "Fuck, did I fuck this guy's life with one of my make money online videos?" Right? He's like, "Hey, man, like I was literally reading your blog just like upstairs." And then I walked down and here you are. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then he asked me out and he's like, "Hey man, you want to go out? Like I have some friends." I was like, "Oh my God, friends." And then no, but it was crazy. Because I put videos out there, you tend to start attracting things even more fast, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
so what would you say, or what video would you say you put out there that attracted this type of dude?
Oh, so that was if you go 0 to 1.5 M in 12 months on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Not on YouTube.
I know. Your account, right?
Okay. Go. Love.
Да. Русский пахнет как дерьмо.
Быстрее. Как насчет мороженка?
Путин.
I like мороженка.
You like мороженка? Mm-hmm. Сарделька?
No.
Sausage?
Yes.
You like okay. Just to sort by most popular. Yeah, we're like switching up everything. We're just like throwing a bunch of shit. Just go to the top right. Top right. And then sort by popular. Yeah, so it literally was this one where I literally cry on camera my story about like the Philippines and like my mom and my the top right one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one. I think he saw that. And then, yeah, I remember making that video.
Philippines after not visiting our home country for like over 10 years, right? The last time my dad actually went there was when his mom unfortunately died. And it was crazy just the fact that this business gave us this freedom that allowed us.
It's so weird hearing my fucking voice.
What it is we actually wanted to do.
You look completely different.
Instead of just worrying about how we're going to pay for the next
Look how sexy I was. I wanted to be the homeless guy. Like I didn't cut my hair. I was just.
YouTube video to listen to my story, right? You came here to find
it's so even weird listening to that because in that moment I felt authentic, but now looking at that I'm like cringing. I'm like, ugh.
No, it's you speak really well. I wish I could let it go. I wish I could let it flow that organically.
Dude, actually I feel like most people can. They just need to black out and not have any self-judgment. Like the moment you judge yourself is the moment you like constrict any creativity. So it's kind of like, I mean, you're already doing it, dude. Like, imagine, like, we're talking. You're not thinking what to say. Like, you're literally just, like, spraying it out. And it's so cool to see, like, how your brain works because as it's just coming out of your mouth, you're not thinking, right? You're in flow.
Yeah.
So it's literally how can I not judge myself and trust that all the words that come out of my mouth are what were meant to come out? So that's, like, really it.
Okay.
But I made this video.
Yeah, no.
And he saw that. And literally, I just... got a friend because this was the first video that I started being authentic in, you know,
okay.
Where I was like, okay, instead of teaching people how to just make money, what if I also taught them like actually who I was as a person, right? Because that's what happens, dude. It's like, you know, when you're at a bar or at like a cafe and you overhear someone talking about something that you're passionate about, and then maybe you might go out and say hi and be like, oh, wow, that's so crazy. Like it's like that, but with the world, man.
Mm-hmm.
So you literally put your ideas on here. Like, and like as we're talking, dude, like as we're talking, someone's fucking gonna listen to this when it publishes and someone's gonna resonate so much that like, for example, say you need an assistant or something. Like, oh my God, I really resonate with what Angelo was with like Phil Ivey. Now like Angelo is my Phil Ivey and he's my God. And I'm the biggest fanboy for Angelo, you know? And then one day you're just gonna be like, dude, I really need an assistant. And because you just put it out there to the universe, or in this case, the YouTube algorithm, like, you know what I'm saying? Which is basically the universe, right? What happens is, dude, like it's almost like this, this lead system to get the right people in your life, you know?
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
What I realized is when I was making bullshit videos without my story, without being authentic, without sharing my own insecurities, where I feel like I lack, where I feel like I suck at, when I'm not being like a normal human being, then I find that the people that come in are just like the same. They're just very surface level, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like after
like
this,
parasites.
Yeah, like parasites. They just want to, like, you probably get that, like, dude, like they, like maybe old friends that see you now traveling, you know, and then they see your YouTube channel and they're like, what the fuck? And you could get that. You get that message sometimes and you're like, you want to help them, but you know, even if you help them, they're such at like a low I don't want to say frequency or vibration, but yeah, dude, like at a frequency or vibration where even if you gave them the information, they still even wouldn't do it. And even if they did it, they probably even wouldn't succeed because they wouldn't have as much future thinking like you did, you know? Mm-hmm. So the moment I started like just crying basically on camera and, but doing it from a position of strength, dude, YouTube isn't like, for me, I don't even look at it as really a money thing because I see it as this is the fastest way to build the most like epic network, right? Mm-hmm, like even kind of like what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
We met, you're a freaking badass. You literally lived down the street. I don't think I would have ever met you had I've just been making, you know, like make money online videos.
And that's another lesson to take out of it is, okay, so the way it was taught to me that I took to heart is you can put information out there, like going back to, let's say, my survival attack videos. Anyone can take that information off of Wikipedia and read it out loud and put some images up, right?
Yeah.
But what really sets you apart and unique is your delivery and the sort of connection that you have with your audience. So you can tell people, hey, go to Fiverr, go to Upwork. This is how you can make money online. But when you're delivering it with your personality as a driving force, that's where people see the human connection with you and the information that you're delivering, right? Otherwise, they might as well just research you or Google it and research an article on how to make money online, right? But people will keep coming back to the Mike Vestil show because it's Mike Vestil delivering this information rather than, let's say, Tony Robbins or something like that, right?
Fuck you, Tony. Not fucking you. Like, I love you, bro.
Yeah. So, like, people come back for you. And I think that, and you already do a good job of this, of having a strong personality and letting it flow and come through in the camera. So that's what you have to use as your selling point. So you can literally, you, Mike Vestil, can literally talk about just not ejaculating for 6 months, right? And people will still want to watch it because it's coming from you. Like, there's a difference between that and reading, you know, some hippie travel blogger girl's thing. Well, not travel blogger,
but like, they have penises too?
Yeah. let's say like a Manosphere type of dude or an RSD type of dude. Someone can read about that online, but it's different when you're delivering it with your personality, your sense of humor, your personal experiences. When you're drawing from your own personal experiences, that's where the value is at, I think.
What do you think your like next step with this is? Because you literally are passing 1 million. You're about to hit 2 million followers and subscribers. Where do you see yourself going with this?
So we have branched off into coaching. YouTube coaching. Yeah, nice, so dude. I've made a lot of really, really good friends at the poker tables. And they were in the same dilemma as me, like just wanting to get out of it, wanting to build an asset. So I started coaching them and getting to the point from like not even know how to set up a channel to being self-sustaining. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And then
do you focus on this much on this YouTube channel?
Or is this
like,
kill you?
Yeah, is it like automated? Like pretty much.
It's automated, but I still try and put my personal touch into it. There's still executive decisions that still need to be made by me and my business partner who run it. So, for example, thumbnails are just so important.
Yeah, they're the most important thing, eh?
Yeah, exactly. And then the production process is automated, but as far as like, okay, is the retention dropping off at this point? What can we do to keep them back on there? What can we do to keep things engaged? And then from there, we'll instruct all our outsourcers, okay, maybe increase the word length, pop this little thing in, pop these little bells and whistles in there so that we can improve this overall metric. So, yeah, these are the things that we research and do on our own that we don't automate. And then that also helps our students. And, how many do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4 students now who are self-sustaining, who didn't even know how to set up a YouTube channel. One example, actually.
Self-sustaining is they can make enough money to not work, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, they live off of it. So they don't do, they're able to quit poker or whatever they're doing and just live off of YouTube. One example actually was an instance where the student became the master.
What?
So they hit 1 million subscribers before I did. What? And then now they're at like 3 million or something what? Like that. Yeah. So they're double. Well, just about double my subscriber rates. Yeah. And they're killing it. But, you know, they really put in the work. So they really, like, whenever I record a coaching call of like, hey, this is what you need to do next, this is what you should do next, they would go through and review the video like 5-10 times to make sure they really know the information and how to best implement it. And then on top of that too, they're researching their competition and seeing what their competition does well that's helping them get to that successful point and how they can implement it into their own videos. And on top of that too, they're trying to improve production quality and build a better connection and all that stuff. So that channel is Origins Explained. They're
Origins
crazy.
Explained. Can you pull up Origins Explained?
Yeah.
Bistre, bistre, bistre.
That means hurry up in Russian.
Does it?
Yeah.
Bistre, bistre.
Da.
Tebe lublu, davai pozhenimsya, lashara.
Origins. Oh yeah. So delete all that and then just say Origins Explained.
Oh, your American spelling so cute. It's so bad.
So O-R-I.
Dude, I would be so... Like, we were talking about this. If
G-I.
Origin.
The second one. Mm-hmm. Second one.
No. Origins Explained. Most powerful dragons from myth and knowledge.
Oh, so they're at 2.87.
Yeah. Damn, and this is your student that you literally brought up from, like, nothing, eh?
Yeah. They didn't know anything about
let's
YouTube.
Let's check out one. The so first one? This is pretty insane. I always wondered how you. Oh. How much would it take to make a video just like this? Like, what's the upfront cost?
Between $100 to $200
for each video.
Yeah, it's getting higher because YouTube is really focusing on watch time and view duration as a metric. Mm. And also you want to be over 10 minutes long so you can get the extra ads in there. Also depends on your retention rates too. Like after a certain point, let's say, I don't know, 3 minutes. I'm just throwing an arbitrary number out there. But after a certain point, if you reach a view duration that's favorable within the algorithm, then they will promote your video organically.
Yeah. Wow. 400,000 views. Let's do some math, guys. 400,000 views divided by 1,000 equals 400. If he's doing $2 or $3 per day, he's doing either 800.
8 to 1200.
Oh, fuck. You're such good at math. Let me put away my.
Yeah. Not a lot. I feel like something like that is probably making more. I don't know. They probably have higher CPMs too.
Yeah, you reckon? So what do you think this person's? Because like that's on the low end, right? Like $2 to $3. Let's even go $3. It's like around $1,200 per day on YouTube. That their overhead cost is. Let's fucking do the math for those that want to like get into YouTube and shit like that. So let's say $3 will be like a little bit. Would it be $4? It couldn't be $4 if you're just doing three.
I don't know. I think three is a very, very liberal amount. Yeah.
Okay, so we could do that. So divided by 1,000, that's 411 times three, that's $1,233. His overhead cost is $200 per video, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many videos? So we'll just subtract $200. And then is there anyone else in this team as well? Like they probably have an editor.
Yeah, I don't know how big their team is. They have
like how big would a team would be for like this to build like a channel like this?
Mm. Okay, so the business partners running the team, there's three of them. So if you go to the channel,
there's three people running.
Yeah, can you go to the actual channel? So the personality of the channel is this girl Katrina, who you can see over there. Origins Explained by Katrina. She does all the fact checking and the recording. And then there's, so her husband is the one that I met at the poker table. And then the other guy that helps run it, I met him at the poker table too.
Wow. So everyone that's killing it on YouTube are poker players. Like everyone that has like, is Brighter Side like Dan Bilzerian then? Like, because he has like two, like pull up Brighter Side.
Bright Side.
Bright Side on the top, on the search. Search.
It's funny because Katrina, when they first came over, and I dropped the idea of them appearing on YouTube, she was like, no, there's no way I'm never ever going to appear on YouTube. I don't want to. And then now she's like carrying the channel.
Wow.
But that's an example too of using your personality to help. Because yeah. They used to be just voiceover reciting facts. But then they saw how powerful a personality and a personal connection is. So that's why she started appearing more in the videos.
Your guy is pretty cool. It sounds like a nice, like an uncle that you would want to have. You know, the guy for your videos?
Oh, yeah. The British dude?
Yeah.
Where'd you
find him?
Upwork.
You know what's crazy? Can you imagine like being such a big fan of like, for example, Brightside or This Will Kill You or They Will Kill You, and you're like literally doing the exact same thing. They're like, oh, you have $20 option to upgrade your flight. And then you're like, fuck, I have no money. Okay, let me just like upgrade. And you're there. You're sitting in business class, first class. You're sitting next to this like British dude, not knowing who the hell he is. And you're just like, wow, like I'm on business class. And then you hear his voice and you're like, oh my God. Are you the voice? Are you the voice from there? Oh my God. Can you imagine? You are my God. Dude, there's probably people like that because you probably have a lot of people just watching your videos just because of that British guy, right?
Probably. Yeah, I'm assuming so.
Dude, I thought that was your voice at first when Nico showed me your channel.
Oh, no.
I was like, dude, this Filipino's British?
What? Yeah, I'm sure you've been recognized in public from what you do, right?
Yeah, but that's why I was like wearing a red bandana and glasses because I wanted to be like the Hannah Montana of YouTube. I wanted to have like the best of both worlds, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at that. I might be him for Halloween, actually.
Yeah.
You know, one of the people on my team, he could actually have me interview him, like having them sit there. Like on some like epic video or something. He said it's like really complicated, but like...
They can have you interviewing...
This one.
Yeah.
I would just have to dress up.
Yeah. You're way bigger now.
Really? Oh, dude, that's because I was living off of pad thai.
Oh, shit.
I was just eating pad thai burritos, dude. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's powered by burritos.
No, but what are you at? 275,000, right?
I think what are we at, Anastasia? Can you like show that? 226, I think.
226? Yeah, that's pretty... Like anything over 100,000 for a personality-based channel like yours and vlog is very, very damn respectable because people come back just for you.
Yeah,
right? I with the list world. At the same time as coaching, I also my mentor with this. He convinced me to start another channel. So I started Bored Badger, and this was years ago. Back then, I was able to get to 100,000 subscribers in just 3 months. Yeah, but again, that's a completely different game. You know, that's when you can still make money off of like 2 to 3 minute long videos.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore, right?
No, well, I guess you can, but it's like the cost benefit is just not worth it.
Do you see yourself doing this for like, do you think this will always still, because as more and more people realize, of course, the costs are going up because it's getting more competitive. Actually, I was going to ask if this is going to last longer, but now that you said the costs are going up, the barrier of entry is like so much higher. This could still be pretty viable for like 10, 20 years, do you think? Or do you think you're going to have to pivot?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I think so. I have pivoted to other industries because we're at the mercy of YouTube with demonetization and what do you call it? Yeah, demonetization, high-risk content, especially with They Will Kill You. Like I said, our big moneymaker and our breadwinner, we had to set it to private because it got demonetized.
Didn't that fucking hurt?
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. So we pivoted over to more personality-based stuff. Like I recorded a video the other day, actually, about like... Because we started a new channel called The Angelo Archives, where it's more of just my personality type stuff. And so like my next video that's coming out is called Why Do Men Fight, right? And so I've got footage of me and Nico sparring.
Oh wow.
And then so like this is all going to be like not just life stuff. I hate to say life stuff and to be shilling that stuff because there's a lot of like life coaches out there and gurus and stuff that first of all I can't compete with them, and second, like I feel like I'm not in a position of authority to be able to be giving advice on people's life. It's like, live your life how you want it, right? But this is more going to be personality-based stuff, like drawing off of my personal experiences, like things you didn't know about They Will Kill You, or things you didn't know about the YouTube world, right? As well as stuff like, I made a video about Kratom the other day, or
not masturbating for 3 days.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
3 days. You like do a little daily vlog, be like, guys, you have like your beard is like grown because it's like you've been just like on an island for like years or something. You're like, guys, it's been 48 hours since I've came.
Oh, man.
Day one. Dude, actually, I started talking more about like NoFap and sexual transmutation.
People have been loving it, dude.
Yeah? Like, type in sexual transmutation.
Didn't you say NoFap for 6 months?
NoFap, 5 years. I don't
know. Are you sure? 5 years?
Well, like, I'll masturbate, but I won't come, you know? Like, just like to Jesus. Get myself edge, you know? Just like an animal. Yeah,
I know, dude. Nico, he was the one, the first person who told me about that. He starts his mornings that way to have.
Yeah, like, he told me that too. I was like, okay, I'll try it. So I'm just like waking up, like just freaking just playing with myself for like 35 minutes.
And
like,
it helps?
Yeah, then I'm like, all right, time to go do my morning ritual. And then I come over here and they're like, why do you always look so like, yeah. It's literally because of this, dude. Look at that. Yeah.
That's you.
That's my boy. I put too much saturation. Can you go back? Can you go back? We started doing podcasts with it. We did Nico, me, and Simone. That one.
That's the one that I saw the thumbnail of.
That one was so fun, dude.
What do you think
about this question? Wait, is she the one with the big tattoo on her back?
Yeah.
Okay.
Masculine point of view, and then the feminine point of view, and the point of view.
Oh my god, it was so fun, dude. But like, I think that's what the world needs. You know, that's like what. Like, so you build a business and then you build another business basically talking with your friends that have built businesses that are just like shooting the shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like more people need to learn about, because like, I bet you, you know, people come up and ask you like, oh, well, how do I get this thumbnail? How do I, you know, get this? But then you're also doing things in your life that are giving you that cutting edge, like Muay Thai, or like getting hypnosis sized by like this Belgium guy mm-hmm. that knows how to dance, right? And it's, I don't know, man.
That's one thing that Nico's really emphasized to me is having a better work-life balance.
Yeah. Right?
And that's what I've been focusing on.
Yeah, you're probably like me, dude. You probably just like black out for like 16 hours and it's just like beard. Well, like we wouldn't even be able to grow beards. It would just be like whiskers. Like, I haven't masturbated in 3 days.
What is your work day like? Like, do you work 12 hours a day?
So? Dude, I used to. Yeah. I used to like a lot. Like, and then... Like, for me, if I train that part of my brain, mm-hmm. I realize it almost takes twice as much time to get out of that way of thinking. Mm-hmm. You know, because think about it. When you're, like, freaking working, you're analytical, you're problem-solving, you're trying to find the problems, you're doing all these things, you're under fire, you're talking to your team, everything's good. Sometimes you're building a business that you don't even like what I did in the past. Mm-hmm. And then, like, after, like, for example, 8 hours or 15 hours of that, like, I would be so just tensed. Mm-hmm. Where, like, I couldn't talk to anyone. I couldn't, like, socialize without feeling like there was a problem. Or, like, because you start getting trained on, like, seeing problems even, like, in people. Or, like, is this person just want something from me? And then I would have to go far in on the other end and just freaking do, like, ecstatic dancing and, like, hang out with Nico for, like, a week. Just him beating my ass to get out of, like, my head, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as of recently, I started asking myself, what do I value the most? Because at the end of the day, dude, it's like there's so many people I know that are already free, but they're creating more of a prison for themselves in their mind,
mm-hmm.
especially when they compare themselves to other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. I'm the biggest, the moment I compare myself to someone else, I'm literally fucked for like 1 or 2 weeks, like slowly going down a downward spiral, even fast. So as of recently, I started looking, okay, well, fuck, okay, like, because, dude, my like little Filipino boy voice is just like, you know, you're like, you may be wrong, or, you know, you might be a failure, you don't want to disappoint your mom or your dad, and that's always just running,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the back of my mind, and that belief has always just, like, if there was any self-sabotage, it would be that little voice in the back of my mind of what, you know, you grow up with.
But I feel like that's also a driving factor.
Oh, 100%, dude. But like, I realized it was coming from a place of lack, you know? Like, like for me, I was growing not because I wanted to, but because I was fearful. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't want to live my life based off of fear, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, like, even like, for example, when things got good, I wouldn't even want to like spend money on myself or anything because I'm afraid, oh, well, if I spend this, what if like everything just like dies and then I won't have like, you know?
Yeah, we always have that always paranoia, have that. Man.
And that paranoia has been like fucking me up. So what helped was I was like, okay, well, fuck, like realize I'm no longer that little kid that was struggling. I'm no longer that little kid that heard mom and dad fighting. I'm like, now, like, I have freedom for myself where I could literally do what I want to do, be who I want to be. So then I was like, okay, like, what are the values that I have? What are all the things I love doing? What are all the things that I hate doing? And then now I've just been partnering with people that are really good at what I hate doing, but they love what I hate doing. And I hate what they love doing. And now, like, my day to day is I wake up every single morning, no matter how fucking hard, like, I try, there's always some type of negative thought that just like they'll try creeping up the first couple of minutes or hours. And if you're not aware of it, it's kind of like the fan, the air conditioning fan that like we could hear it the moment we think about it. Mm-hmm. Right. But even like while we're talking, that has been running like under our subconscious. If I'm not aware of like the negative thoughts within the first couple hours of the day, that will fuck me up, man. Mm. So in the morning of no, for some reason, I literally wake up out of fear, like every single morning. It's so weird, man. I wake up just like, what the fuck? Like, holy shit. Like, oh, I need to do this. And I'm like so reactive. And I was like, okay, no, I need to chill. So I'll do like a 3 or 4 hour morning ritual, right?
3 or 4 hours?
Yeah, dude. It's freaking insane, man. Like right now you're seeing me. I'm like, oh, like I've done like my gratitude journal. I got in the ice bath. Mm-hmm. Then now I'll do the podcast. And then after the podcast, I'll maybe do like a little bit of admin work for like an hour or two. And then the rest of the day is me just getting out of my analytical brain and just going back into just, you know, like love and connection. Cause that's all I really care about at this point, you know, just how can I have epic conversations with epic people, record it to like share to the world what we talk about behind the scenes so they don't feel alone. And then to then just do freaking epic events and adventures and then record those epic events and adventures and just like put it out there and just like have a freaking, like, you know, it'd be really dope actually. Mm. Like, for example, us become like really good friends. And then when we're like 80 years old, I'll be like, dude, like this is when I met your Tito Angelo. Look at our first conversation, you know, like, you know, and then be like, look at this fucking podcast. And we're just here like, wow, like Tito, you didn't masturbate 3 days. Wow. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, for those who don't know, Tito means uncle.
Yeah.
In Filipino.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Long story short, now I feel more at ease because like I'm just sharing, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just talking and I'm not really thinking right now, but I'm just saying whatever arises. So I feel good now.
Okay. So it seems like too, you're taking the creation and production process and making it part of your daily life by filming stuff wherever you go and filming stuff that you love to do and all that.
Well, not even that, but just like, so I love networking, right? I love networking, like meeting epic people. They don't have to be a business person. They could just have an epic story. I'm thinking, well, how can I just record that conversation and then turn that into the channel, you know? Mm-hmm. Because I feel like we'll have an epic conversation and it's just like a shame that I was like, fuck, dude, that could have really helped a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to like build that in my life. Initially it sucked because like this is probably how you felt. Like I would go from like, Not 2 or 3 minute videos, because make money online, you have to do more tutorial stuff. So I'd go from like 5 to 15 minute videos to then like 1 or 2 hour long videos. And then the freaking engagement would just like go down.
For the longer videos?
Yeah, because everyone came in for the sensational videos, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when I'm talking about personal development, they can't even resonate with that because they're like, oh, I just want the quick fix.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Exactly.
So
that makes it tough, huh?
It's tough, but then I'm always... it's always just a reflection of my ego. And the more I realize, I'm like, well, fuck, dude. Okay, would I rather have like 100,000 people that I wouldn't want to hang out with? Or if even like 10 or 50 people listen to this entire conversation and they're like, wow, fuck yeah. Like, I know if they made it this far in our shenanigans, mm-hmm. they'd be someone that we would want to spend some time with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do business with, you know?
Yeah. So it naturally filters out the leeches. And
but it's been tough, dude, like ego-wise, because you know how like you, like with YouTube, you just like equate a lot of your self-worth, especially for a personality brand, to like your engagements and views and like self-fraud and shit like that.
I was curious, how are your analytics with these like hour-long podcasts? Do people drop off pretty fast?
Yeah. So when the title is very sensationalized, like for example, that girl that turned down $30 million, or my mentor that does $1 million a month profit, those like do really well. Mm-hmm. But then for example, for more in detailed ones where I'm just talking to a friend and I don't know of like the SEO to think of or the sensational mm-hmm. with them, that'll be like a lot lower. Mm-hmm. Right. But essentially, dude, you look at some freaking podcasts where they don't even think about the thumbnail. Like imagine this, dude. Imagine a world where you just talk to your friends. You don't even think about the thumbnail. You don't think about the title. A lot of the podcasts here, they're literally just like podcast 5565.
Yeah.
Like hundreds and thousands of views. Joe Rogan. Millions of views.
Yeah. Joe Rogan's a master at that.
Dude, he's making like 50 mil plus.
Really?
Yeah.
Just off his podcasts?
Yeah, just from like sponsorships and his ad revenue.
Holy shit.
And that's not counting his other business like on it, which is like 30 mil plus a year.
That's crazy.
So it's like fuck, dude. For me, it's like, I have a mentor. He was talking about power versus force. And he was saying that it's really hard to make 100,000. It's almost easier to make like 500 million. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what does that even mean? Right?
I could see that.
Yeah. And it's literally because you're literally operating at like a different way of thinking, you know?
Different way of thinking, and it's easier to get momentum.
Yeah.
That way you can take, once you have your first million or say, you can invest in more aggressive opportunities, mm-hmm. right? I could definitely see that for sure.
What are those opportunities, like, would you say for you right now? Because like you're building this is self-sustainable, you're building your coaching. Do you see like a lane for you to just really double down in the next like couple of years?
That's a good question. I don't know if right now I haven't found yet an opportunity that I'm as passionate about as YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube is the best.
Yeah, it really is. And having, you know, a big audience really does help. I'm sure you know, right? What I've done rather than found something that I'm passionate about is just diversified for safety. Because as you said, we wake up with that fear. And it almost thinks sometimes this is too good to be true, right?
Yeah.
Like, look at where we're at. We wake up in Bali whenever we want. We've got like this exotic environment. We got
dogs.
All this. Yeah, we got puppies. Yeah.
I actually almost stole your puppy.
Did you?
Yeah, I saw it running. It's so freaking cute. And then I literally like grabbed it and I was like, I started feeding it meat. It was like in here playing with my dog.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. I think I have a video. Let me show you.
I was thinking about bringing her over, but I wasn't sure.
Her maybe over for the thumbnail.
Okay.
Yeah, she's just down the street. But no, like, I was like, man, I don't want to get another dog. But when I saw your dog, dude, I was just like, I need to have this dog.
What are you going to do with your dog when you move away?
Maybe I don't move away, dude. Look at this. Look at this.
Oh, yeah, that's her. It's
Faye, right?
Faye, yeah.
I was going to take it because I didn't see a leash. And then I saw it another day and I was feeding it. And then I saw the name tag. I was like, who owns you? It's such a cute dog, man.
I like how you described her as an Oreo puppy.
Look, it's like an Oreo puppy. Look,
yeah. Look
how cute that is. Oh my god, yeah. But yeah, dude, I definitely understand what you're talking about, man.
But yeah, no, to answer your question, like I'll diversify because we have that scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
And Nico points that out to me, that I have a scarcity mindset, but I think it's very inherent with entrepreneurs because we don't have that security of collecting a paycheck every month. Like things can go to shit and we might not be eating, right? Of course that's in a very doomsday scenario, and knock on wood, but you know, every day I wake up and I'm like, wow, this place is amazing. There's good food everywhere. I'm surrounded by some great people. And I like what you said that really stood out to me, is that you keep a gratitude journal, because I feel like that helps balance you and helps you put you in a more abundance mindset. So anyways, to answer your question too, I've diversified, like, you know, we just picked up we bought a house in California that we renovated for Airbnbs. I've got some investments in crypto and some stocks and all that. So I've got my hands in all these little things, and also at the same time trying to keep launching new channels to stay relevant in the online world. But there's nothing yet that I've found that I'm truly, truly passionate about just yet, as far as like business wise goes. Yeah. You know, I've entertained the idea actually, because I've really enjoyed Muay Thai. So I've entertained the idea of like perhaps starting a Muay Thai gym or something, because like some of those Thai trainers don't make shit and they're being exploited quite a bit. So I think it'd be fun to do that, you know, or like a fitness center or something. But I don't know. I haven't really thought much into it. Do you have any ideas?
No, I just feel like the online world is just like the way better, you know, because it's like you could all do all this, but it's like, what's the opportunity cost? You could just make another channel, you know what I'm saying? And then,
yeah,
I don't know, dude. I feel like none of us really know what we're fucking doing, and we're just trying to like live a good life, you know?
Yeah, that's what's crazy about this online world is that you essentially create fame for yourself. Like it's very, very flattering and humbling when I meet someone on the street who has seen my channels, and I can see how it can inflate your ego, but I try and take a more down to earth approach and just be very thankful that, you know, I've been able to spread my work and that people actually like it.
Cause you're super chill, man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I walked in and I was like, wow, he's like walking in on a cloud. Yeah. I was like, wow, is this fucker enlightened? Now we were like, hey, how's it going, brother? Just like just high from my morning ritual. I'm just like, and also like in the beginning, I was trying not to be in the room to talk to you, because I feel like the moment we would talk before like they would start recording, like we would just start saying some funny stuff. So like you were in here waiting, and I'm like, I'm gonna go outside. And I was just like waiting. I was like, you know, like holding it back.
Oh, is that what you were doing out there?
Yeah, dude, because I was like, fuck, this guy's gonna say some awesome stuff. I'm gonna say some awesome stuff. They're still like editing. She's running out like to get the GoPro, and I'm just like, okay. Yo, bro, I'm gonna go over there. You know what I'm saying? But like, dope. It's dope that we got like a bunch of things. We talk about so much stuff, bro.
Yeah. This was a good time.
You feel good?
Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
We'll do a group hug after this then. Yo, so with that being said, guys, check out Angelo's links below, his YouTube, his Instagram, his lumpia recipe for that chicken fire adobo. You know what I'm saying? That balut in your zhivote, which means stomach in Russian. Yeah, dude, thank you so much for hopping on, dude.
No, thank you for this opportunity. I had such a blast, and it was very flattering to be able to come on. So thanks for your time, man.